Lock Haven Baptist Church. A special welcome if you're visiting for the first time. We have a visitor's packet we'd like to give you. So if you are a first-time visitor and you have not yet received that packet, if you'd raise your hand and the ushers will bring one to you, as well as some information about our church. There's also a visitor's card inside. If you take a moment and fill out that card and drop it in the offering plate, we'd appreciate having a record of your attendance with us. Young lady up here in the front, I hope Brother David's got a second one, up here behind Sister Yvonne. All right, glad to have you with us today. Anyone else? Don't want you to be left out. Amen. We're glad you're here. Welcome to Lock Haven Baptist Church. Brother Lee Barkley is going to come at this time and lead us in prayer.
I thank you that we are redeemed by your precious and wonderful blood, the blood of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for that on the rugged cross, for you shed your precious blood and we can be redeemed. Not only redeemed, but forgive us of sin, Lord. I thank you, you do forgive us, Lord. You are a faithful and true God, worthy to be worshipped and praised and honored and glorified in all your ways, Lord. Father, I just thank you this day. I thank you, Lord, for this time you've given us to come to your house and hear the word of God. I thank you, Lord, that you're performing a good work in us, Lord, and I just pray that you continue that good work, Lord, and be your servant, Lord, be your witness in this world, Lord, be a lighthouse, Lord, that you're alive and well in the hearts and lives of your children, Lord. We do thank you, Lord, for the strength and help you give us each and every day. We thank you, Lord, that you do watch over us, Lord, and you care for us in such a wonderful and precious way. You are a great and mighty God, so, Lord, be praised. Echoes your name in all the earth, Lord. Lord, we do pray for those that come today, Lord, or someone here today, Lord, that doesn't know you, Lord. That when your word is preached, the Holy Spirit will do a work in the hearts, Lord. That they tear down those walls and barriers that keep you from coming to him. And that your heart be pricked today, Lord. And you accept him as your Lord and Savior. What a wonderful day to come to the house of God and hear your precious word. Be of that pastor as he brings the word to us today, Lord. That your word, when it goes forth, apply the lodge and place in our hearts. Let me be better servants of thee that you do work in our hearts, Lord, and be a witness for you, Jesus. Thank you again for our choir. Thank you for each one to come this way. We just pray for those on our prayer list, Lord. You be with each one. You just minister to them. Help them, Lord. You know the need of each one, Lord. We just pray you meet their needs according to your precious divine will. But your will must be done in our hearts and lives. We pray you just continue to bless the rest of this service, Lord, that your name will be uplifted and praised and honored and glorified. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
I'm
appreciate your cooperation. Take your songbook, turn to page number 151. Let's stand together as we sing Praise Him, Praise Him. 151. Churchwide prayer, also the youth and the children's choirs at 6, our evening worship tonight at 6:30. On Tuesday evening, work night at the Scripture Press beginning at 6:45 p.m. Wednesday evening, the 28th, Discovery Club and the Youth Zone at 6:30, our midweek prayer service at 7 o'clock, and then on Friday the 30th, a beautiful girlhood event, and that will begin at 7 p.m. Sad note here, today will be Brother Ray's last service with us. God bless you, brother. You've been a blessing to us. He's going to Tennessee. Let's see, our missionaries to Uganda, the Petersons, will be with us this evening to bring a report on their service there. So be sure to be back tonight for that. Beautiful girlhood activity. See Mrs. Ormsby for more details. Ladies' Christmas party next Sunday in the Fellowship Hall from 2 to 4:30 p.m. All girls and ladies are welcome. There will be a cookie or candy exchange. And so if you come, ladies and girls, you need to bring a plate of cookies or candy and you need to bring an empty container, because you'll be giving with one and receiving with the other. So if you just bring a plate of cookies, you won't be able to receive. Now, it is more blessed to give than to receive, but the idea of exchange is giving and receiving. So you need both. I think I have been true to my instructions. Okay, our spotlight, our missionaries with the Doors, our missionaries in Mexico, and so we'll be praying for them. I believe that's all the announcements that I need to make. Take your songbook, turn to page number 271. You may remain seated as we sing Sunlight, 271.
I wandered in the shade of night till Jesus came to me, and with the sunlight of his love did all my darkness flee. Sunlight, sunlight, in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight, all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love within. The clouds, they gather in the sky, and billows round me roll. However dark the world may be, a sunlight in my soul. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love within.
On the last verse.
Soon I shall see him as he is, the light that came to me. Brightness of his face on through eternity. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love within.
Do be praying for those on our prayer list, and particularly those who are traveling. Many who are traveling probably coming home yet today, and so pray for their safety on the highways if they do travel. Take your songbook, turn to page number 69. Let's stand together, and the ushers will come forward on the last verse of My Face Looks Up to Thee, page 69.
Take all thy sins away.
may be seated. Thank you so much for being with us today. We are glad that you're here. We hope you enjoy yourself and that you'll have a wonderful time here in the house of God today as we worship the Lord. Just a few notes of information about the Christmas tree, angel tree thing over here. It seems as though that many are missing that have not seen Miss Bentley. So if you've taken an angel
marker off the tree. Please see Miss Bentley and let her know you've got that number, because otherwise, if you get sick and you're not here, or you go on vacation and forget, that child will not have something. And we don't want any forgotten angels. We got to remember them all. So please, if you've taken a card off of the tree, over here, a little white tree over here, please see Miss Benton and let her see the card and number, because that corresponds with a particular child. You don't know who that child is, but she does. She knows. So please help me with that, because we got to stay on top of that before it gets a little bit out of hand. We're in Colossians chapter number 4. Be at prayer for all those that are traveling and that are away yet today, and that they'll be back this week sometime, back in the house of God, at least by Wednesday or next Sunday. Colossians chapter number 4. We have been going verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the book of Colossians. We'll finish up this book today, chapter 4. We'll begin reading at verse 2. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 2. The Bible says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. But Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Verse 13. For I bear him record that he hath great zeal for you, and them that are of in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Verse 18, the salutation of my hand, by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Now, as we begin this study in the book of Colossians, we understood that there was, through the reading and studying of the Scripture, that there were some doctrinal errors and issues that Paul dealt with in the very beginning of that. And as he began to clarify those doctrinal issues, the second chapter, he began to show us how to apply these doctrinal truths into our life, into the everyday Christian living. Where we show forth the love of Christ there. And then he begins to make a general turn of events here and he begins to deal in this latter portion of chapter number 4, all the way through to the end of it. He begins to deal with personal life of the believer, how we interact as a person within ourselves. In verse 2, he begins to us again to appeal to us for an earnest in prayer. And if you remember back in chapter number 1, all the way through there, all the way through to chapter 1, about midway, Paul is also declaring unto them how they should pray. If you look at chapter 1, verse 3, he says there, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And this is how Paul started it, showing us how to pray. Remember Acts chapter number 1, Jesus began to both do and teach. And so that's very important that we follow through in that pattern, that we not only teach, we ought to be able to show and to be able to present how to do what we are teaching. And so Paul began to do that. And now he's dealing with us in our personal life as a believer. And he says there in verse 2, continue in prayer. Paul urges that we have a consistency in our prayer life. And as you know as well as I do, for many of us, it's simply just a hit and miss. It really is. It's not a consistency there. And you're not alone. It is it's quite the problem, I might say. Even the apostles, if you remember back in Matthew 26 and verse number 38, Jesus brought three of his apostles away, and he said to them, watch. Paul kind of uses the same terminology here. Continue in prayer and watch. What's that watch about? It's an urge of the awareness of the events, dear friend. Some of us, we're like geese or ostriches. Ostriches put their head in the sand, don't they? We're like ostriches. We think we put our head in the sand and we think everything's going to go away and it's going to be all right. Well, you know, prayer is a difficult thing. Even those that were dear and close to the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. He says, can't you just watch? And he goes back again in chapter 26 and verse 38, 40, and 41. What? You can't even watch for 1 hour? And he's dealing with them on a personal event there as he does that, because he understood that prayer needed to be consistent. It needs to be a part of our life. And Paul is taking that exhortation, and he says, listen, be continue in prayer, watchful and thankful. Why should we be thankful? Because I'm just to be honest with you, dear friend, if you have a grateful heart, the praise should naturally flow out of that out of that grateful heart. And that's why he says there in verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. There, and then he says there in verse number 3, with all, praying also for us. And he begins to deal in verses 3 and 4 with intercessional type prayer. With all, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And Paul pleads with them to remember him and his laborers and those that will be preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back over in Ephesians. Hold your place there in Colossians. Look in Ephesians, if you would, just for a moment. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 18. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18. The Bible says, praying always with all prayer, that continuing in prayer, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching on, thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then he says, and for me, in verse 19, that the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And Paul encouraged the church there, the believers there in Ephesians and Ephesus, that they would also be conscious and watchful and continuing in prayer, in intercessory prayer. Different, never be ashamed to ask somebody to pray for you. We all stand in need of prayer, every last one of us. And if we know others are praying for us, it may make it a little bit more easier for us to spend time in prayer for others there as we go. So don't be afraid to ask prayer. It's a biblical thing to ask for prayer, and it is a biblical thing, a principle that we pray. And so Paul's encouraged them there to do so. Back in Colossians chapter number 4, as we move along, there in verse number 5, chapter 4 and verse number 5, the Bible says there, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And so Paul begins to deal with them about the need of a very consistent walk, consistency in our everyday life. Remember, this is personal behavior. There, walk in wisdom toward them that are out, redeeming the time. You know, on purpose. What he's saying here, walk in wisdom. Walk on purpose in your Christian walk. Walk in wisdom. Where do we get wisdom? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask God, and God will give it to us liberally. So Paul's saying to the church, the Christians there in Colossae, he says, listen, walk in wisdom. In other words, get your eyes open. Walk purposely, circumspectly. Know what's going around you. Be harmless as doves. Be wise as serpent and harmless as doves. And so walk in wisdom as you walk day by day. Rise up in the morning. Say, today I'm going to serve God with everything that's in me. Isn't this the first and the greatest of all commandments? Is to love God with all of our heart. And so when you rise up, die to self. He must increase, I must decrease. And on purposely walk in wisdom. And he says they're also redeeming the time. That comes from an old English sitting of words, speaking of earnestness. It literally means buying up opportunities. Well, why are we buying up opportunities? We need to buy up, we need to redeem the time, because listen, the opportunity to serve the Lord is now. Right now is the opportunity to serve the Lord. Why should we do this? Why should we walk in wisdom on purpose? Walking and making our choices on purpose and weighing out the consequences. Because whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7, 8, 9. And if you sow the flesh, you're going to reap the flesh. So you have to walk on purpose. You have to make decisions. Listen, you're not going to make good, godly decisions in the middle of the argument, in the middle of the fire, in the middle of the street, when the oncoming traffic is there. You're going to have to walk in wisdom. That means you've got to make decisions prior to the circumstances there, because Christian character does not come out in the circumstance. It's not made in the circumstance. It just shows up in the middle of the situation that you're in. And so Paul says, walk in wisdom, redeeming the time. Well, why am I doing this? He says it right there. Toward them that are without. That's why we do it. That's why we're seeking the wisdom of God. That's why we're redeeming the time. It's not for you and I. Listen, when you got saved and you trusted Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, put faith in Him, you were redeemed, you were bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, after you're saved, it's as if you're already seated in heaven. That's how sure that your eternity with Christ is for you and I. You and I, to be absent from this body, to be present for the Lord. But we're walking in wisdom. We're walking, we're redeeming the time for them that are without. Those that do not know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Every last one of you knows somebody that uses you or somebody in the church or some Christian organization or some denominational system to say, this is why I'm not going to be part of any church because of, and name it, hypocrites there. I'm not going to the church because there are ungodly people at the church. Well, good Lord, that's like saying I'm not going to the gym because there are weak people at the gym. They're going to the gym to get exercise, to be better. Listen, nobody's perfect in the house of God. So So don't use the house of God for an excuse, but they do use it. So that's why Paul says here, walk in wisdom, redeeming the time, because it is for their good. And we need to be careful of that. We have to understand what's going on here in this situation. So it's personal behavior. Well, I'll start doing right when they do right. I'll walk in wisdom when he walks in wisdom. I'll redeem the time when she redeems the time. No. What will you render unto the Lord? Remember Psalms? We looked at the other, what was it? Psalm? What was that Psalm? 118 verse 12? For several Wednesday nights, we looked at some. What will we redeem? What will we render unto the Lord for all His benefits to us? Not what He does or she does or they do. It's what will I do? Paul's speaking there to you personally. Walk in wisdom, redeeming the time for them that were or without. Look at verse 6 as we move on here. Verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. I mean, listen, the need for wholesome speech, dear friend, is an essential for Christian living and for the Christian life. And what I guess in my own words, what Paul is saying is here, he said, live in grace while standing on truth. Many of us live in the truth and stand on the letter of the law without grace. Look with me over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 10. First Corinthians 15:10, the Bible says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. I mean, we got to live in grace. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Look at verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 10. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, and to make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And Paul says over in Colossians, this is there, as he began to speak to them about their life and how they're to personally interact with each other and with people, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Learn to live in grace while standing on the truths of the Word of God, and present Christ Jesus through the grace that is there, that's been given to us through God and by God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in verses 7 through 18, Paul begins to bring the whole book to a conclusion, and it begins to get kind of personal as you look at it through the eyes of Paul. There in verses 7 and 8 and 9, if you'll look there, verse 7, 8, 9, back in Colossians, the Bible says that all my state shall tachias declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and faithful minister, fellow servant of the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estates and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. And Paul says, listen, I'm remembering those that are around me, that I'm not in this on my own, that I cannot do this on my own. I'm not here in a soloist. I'm not here doing everything so I get all the glory. And Paul begins to lay it out in the conclusion, as he begins to wind down this thing. He says, listen, there's those that are carrying the letters, the epistles from here to there. They're fellow servants. And listen how he put it, fellow servants in the Lord. He didn't say they're fellow servants underneath me. He said they're fellow servants of mine. They're fellow servants in the Lord. Therefore, we are equal in the eyes of God. And so he brings those to remembrance and brings those to the forefront. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on around the house of God that many of you do not see and do not know. It's those that's behind the scenes that make things work. And Paul wanted us to understand something. This isn't all about me. This is, I'm decreasing so he can increase. Fellow servants in the Lord. And so Paul brings that out and begins to share that with us as he's there. And then verses 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14 Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. Marcus. Now, if you remember Marcus back over in the book of Acts, that's Barnabas' nephew. And Barnabas and Paul, or Saul, had a very big schism because of John Mark. John Mark or Marcus wanted to go back and wanted to do his own thing for a little while. And as he went back, they had real strict, difficult problems. But later on in life, Paul says, bring Marcus to me. He's profitable unto the Lord. And he names you here in Colossians. He says, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. Well, there was a time Paul was writing him off. He was done with it. But now you see he's remembering those friendships that he had built over the years and the fellowship there with, as we read on. Look in verse 11. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always. Listen to what he says about his testimony. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are of Laodicea, them and Herodias, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greets you. Well, we understand here, Demas, at one point, Demas is going to forsake him. Down the road, Demas is even going to walk away for the love of this present world. But Paul, as he's here in these verses, he begins to remember the others, the need of others, and letting them have their praise and their opportunity to be known. None of us would ever know this unless Paul, listen, at the very last verse 18, the citation, by the hand of Paul. Paul could have kicked against the pricks. You know he did it in the Acts when he was Saul. Because I'm not going to write that. I'm not going to bring them up. This is all about me. But Paul understood it wasn't about him. It was about all of us working together for the common cause. And he said, these are laborers. He said, some of them are even of you. He wasn't ashamed to let it be known that, hey, I cannot do this on my own. I need help, and these are my fellow helpers and laborers in the Lord. And then he goes back in verses 15, 16, and 17, if you would. Salute the brethren which are at Laodicea, Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when the epistle is read among you, cause that it is read also in the church of Laodicea, that ye likewise read the epistle of Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill in. Now he's remembering places that he had worked and labored and visited, and he poured his heart in, and he said, look, these are some important places. And he's telling there in the last chapter we read, about last verse 17, to Archippus, he said, listen, you've been given an opportunity. Maybe in the past it was a difficult ministry. I know churches right now, dear friend, they just devour pastors left and right. You think you lose socks every time you dry socks. It's like they lose a pastor about every 6, 7, 8 weeks, maybe a year goes by, and they run him out and get him another one. And he said, listen, fulfill the ministry. In other words, dig your heels in, stay put, and listen, the Lord's on your side. And he's remembering this, and he's putting it out there, and he's letting us know, hey, there are some important things in life, and some of those are precious memories. Precious memories, as he begins to close this down. And then there finally, in verse number 18, the salutation by the hand of Paul. Remember my bonds. And that's where most of us live, right there. You see that period? Remember me. Remember my troubles. Remember, hey, I'm in jail writing you this letter. Paul finished this book. Grace be with you. Amen. Paul had a heart after the Lord. The Lord's always after us. Always doing what's best for us. In your difficult hour, in your difficult moment, and the things that wrap you around the world and take your very breath from you and cause you heartache and pain, dear friend, listen. At the very worst, it won't even matter when we cross over into eternity. Grace. Paul said, listen, I'm bound. Remember me. Pray for me. But grace be to you. Grace be to you. Remember, dear friend, there's others who have much more difficult, much more serious problems than you can have. And that's what Paul said. I saw something the other day that said, if you're having a bad day, this very day, somebody lost their mother. If you're having a bad day, somebody lost their job. Having a very bad day, this day, somebody laid a loved one to rest. It's bad. Paul said, remember my bonds. But grace be unto you. Grace be unto you. Brother Ray, I think before we give invitation, I want to let you come. I think it's appropriate that you close it, and we'll have an invitation song as soon as you finish. Brother Ray, grace be unto you.
It made me long as it served.
God, grace me with this church. We prayed before we came here that we could find a home church. And I'll say to you, I'm not going home. I'm leaving home. But no matter how hard it is for me, I've got God's grace with me. I know that. You've loved us so much. And you brought us through a hard time. You stood beside us. And I always try to remember that. As bad as it's been, as it seems now, it could be worse. And I know I'll be back here to worship with you at some point. So I just want to say to you, I love you. You've shown us great love. statement. This is from Dr. Rogers. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. When you go home tonight, rest your head on the Word of God. And know that the God of Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And the God that's going to be continuing to care for you and lead you will be caring for me and leading me. Thank you again for being the church you've been. Thank you for being a pastor and pastor's wife that you've been for me. And if I don't get back, someday we'll meet up there.
Love it, Brother Ray. Stand up for the song of invitation to be played. Yes, it's coming.
What page, Brother Jim? 357, church. This evening, he's got to pack up. He'll be leaving early this morning, in the morning. I think he said about 3 in the morning. So y'all pray for him. Shake his hand, tell him how much you love him. And
let him know that we do care for him as a church. Give Brother Ray a hand. He's been a good friend. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in your house. We thank you, Lord, that we had the opportunity to know Brother Ray and Sister Donna. God, wants you rest in you. Brother Ray's taking this next travel and journey through life, moving back up to Tennessee. I pray, God, you'd protect him, keep him safe. Help him find a place up there that he can get in and get involved in a local church that he can glorify and honor you. And he'll rekindle friendships that are there and make new friends up in Tennessee. And Lord, continue to use him. Allow him to be a vessel that you can get glory out of. And we do ask you to bring us back safely tonight as we go and serve you throughout this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen.